This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 225.
Correct.
What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What's up, friend?
You know, I found myself looking at some of the shows that we've been watching and like parsing out over the next couple of weeks how many shows we've got, you know, or thinking like, well, I've got, you know, looking at Dark and saying, okay, now after this one, there's two more episodes in this season. There's eight episodes in the next season. I'm like, okay, so five more weeks of Dark.
Yeah.
You know, looking at things like that, because we just finished up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week. And I know that some of the fall shows have started announcing when they're coming back. And it's so weird. The world's so weird right now. Like, I'm in this void where I feel like we should have already gotten some of the Orville. Like, I thought we were supposed to get the Orville back in, like, January or February. And we haven't.
No, I always thought it was this December.
Maybe. I know it's going to be on Hulu, but we haven't gotten any of it in forever.
I feel like I'm going to sneeze, but it's just sitting there. But no, you're right.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been even longer for the Orville than.
Yeah, but I know that shows are going to be coming back in the fall, but I mean, I got the notification today that I've got five more days until Lucifer comes back. I'm excited about that. It's better now that it's on Netflix, so yep. I'm excited to see more of that. But yeah, so there's still a lot of stuff to watch. Holy crap.
And there's new stuff all the time, it seems like.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's good.
I picked up a new show this week. Almost two, but we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes here.
I really think we should open up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
Personally.
It was the series finale for real this time.
Two episodes, essentially. They weren't like combined as one long episode. You know, they're two individual stories.
But they were back-to-back.
Yeah, they were back-to-back. as a whole, I'll just sum it up for me. As a whole, I really enjoyed this season a lot.
Yep.
I think it's definitely kind of like one of the best seasons. I also really enjoyed the finale.
Yep.
I thought they ended it well. Thought the way they ended it was good. It made sense, you know.
It gave us the 1 year later kind of thing.
Yeah. But it wasn't. I didn't end the series going, oh, that's fucking bullshit or that's garbage or whatever. You know, they did left it ambiguous to the point where it's like they could come back and make another season sometime, or they could do a movie, or you can even see these characters on in the cinematic universe, perhaps.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they did leave it good in that nature. I'm not displeased with the finales whatsoever. So that's always a positive.
Yep.
As much as like How I Loved How I Met Your Mother, when they kept talking after he said, and that's how I met your mother.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
Or when Scrubs had their absolutely amazing finale and then did another season.
I still can't hear The Book of Love without thinking of
that
final scene and watching the video play out on the tarp. And
you know, I'm curious if in the, you watch it on Hulu?
Yeah.
In the Hulu season finale, if they have The Book of Love, if they substituted a song.
Now I kind of want to just go watch that.
I kind of want to go watch that myself just to see if they did that, because that would.
That would destroy.
That would be horrible.
This would be one of those situations where, like, you jump ahead and read the last page of a book just to, you know, I would want to see, because I would never be able to watch Scrubs again like that.
Oh, it would ruin it.
It would absolutely.
Like, we have talked time and time again when you've brought up that you're watching these shows, we have brought up time and time again how you know, not having
the iconic
right music. Songs or the even when it's not, yeah, even when it's just like a regular song,
yeah,
not having it on there
can really
can absolutely ruin the show.
Yeah, because a lot of times when you really like a show, it's not just the show itself, it's the little parts of it.
Right.
You know, it's, and the music does play a big part of that. Like I said, I sought out many of the songs from the first couple of seasons of Scrubs for listening pleasure because they were that good.
Yes. Oh, yeah, me too.
So to see it bastardized like this really does ruin the enjoyment for me, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I'm you know how they do the fast forwarding and rewinding is not allowed in this part of the video.
Are you literally looking it up?
I'm literally watching it right now.
Okay.
And as my mind drifted to faces I've seen here before, I was taken to memories of family.
Hey, little brother.
Of color.
Now it's Beyonce.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Bob. I broke my. You can't. As for the future.
Oh, here
thanks
we go.
To Dad, it didn't seem so scary anymore.
Yep.
It could be whatever.
Good, good. Kept it in there.
Yeah.
That would have ruined
it. Yeah, now we can actually watch it and not be angry.
At least for that part.
At least for that, yeah. Because, I mean, like I said, they have talked about on the podcast how, like, the music has changed, has ruined the scenes for them. And they were there.
Yep.
Anyways.
So, that being said, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're not... You're saying that you liked it, but there's not that passion in your voice. Like, you know, oh, yeah, yeah. It's more like a reluctant like.
No, it's not a reluctant like. It's just more of a...
Things wrapped up almost too neatly?
Yes, that's the thing. Like, it's a satisfying finale because, but at the same time, you know, they really married Sue the hell out of a lot of it. Like, the Chronicons. Like, okay, they did one of those things, like, on The Flash... Where I can't even think of his name because it's been so long since I've watched The Flash. You know what I'm talking about? Tech Boy.
Yeah.
Cisco. Where Cisco's like, oh, I made this device that we hadn't needed right this second. Uh-huh. I just threw it together. You know? And they did a lot of that.
In this case, they used technology that was established in the movies.
Yes. Like in Winter Soldier or in other movies. Yes, they did.
Turns out that Fitz this whole time was in the quantum realm.
Yep.
And they set it up so that they basically jumped to, you know, they sent him into the quantum realm at the moment that the temple was blown up.
Yep.
Way back.
Yep.
And set Flint and Piper to guard his capsule.
Yep.
So that then it looped back around and our current people were the technicians who helped them transport the
bomb. That was cool. That was cool.
Then they go out there and it's like, you just left. Oh, well, we're back here. But literally they had been around for all this time.
Right. Like at least for, like Fitz and Simmons had been gone for years because they had a daughter.
Yeah. Basically, Fitz had looked ahead. He had done a Doctor Strange. And
yes.
He looked ahead and looked at all the possible outcomes. And the only one where it would work revolved around Korra being alive and with them.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, so it works. Of course, here. And they're like, no.
She's
with them.
Yeah.
Oh. But, yes, without diving too deep into it, there were a lot of moments. Like it was noble that Daisy was supposed to sacrifice herself.
Yep.
You know, he's like, there's no way you're getting out of here alive. She's like, yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah.
And she sacrificed herself, and we saw her corpse floating in space, frozen solid.
Yep. And then
they scooped her up, and...
Korra zapped her back to life.
With her little heat powers. All she did was thaw her out.
And did you notice this time when Nathaniel took Korra's powers, apparently he didn't drain her like everyone else had done all season long.
Right.
He had her powers, which we never saw him use. He just presented showing, oh, I got her powers, but then Daisy killed him, basically.
Yeah.
But Korra still had her powers. And she was still there, and she turned to the light side again, and
yep.
So yeah, there was a lot of that. Like when they discuss, like when everyone shows it, because we've determined this is an alternate reality,
yes,
or alternate universe, no, alternate reality,
timeline,
alternate timeline. But apparently, that timeline will still exist
Because the first thing that the team says is they're like, you know, fuck you, we're helping these people. We're not even the Chronicoms here. And they're like, no, we could just get back to our timeline and erase this. No, no, we need to help these people. Yeah. This will still be here. Well, no, it won't. Well, yes, it will.
Allegedly, it will. Who knows? But Deke stayed behind.
Yeah.
Because he's like, well, you know, you'll see me again someday anyways, and I'm a rock star in this timeline.
But we never saw him again, which really kind of...
No, we didn't. Well, because we're not in that timeline, and they haven't developed a way to cross timeline universes or whatever, apparently with technology, which I guess is a good thing.
I did like when, you know, they all warped out, and the woman looked at him, and she's like, so you're the new guy in charge? And he's like,
yes, I am. Yeah. But when they all showed up with each with this piece of a part that, like, Enoch left behind. And then
Gemma, that was cool.
And Gemma was just like, I know automatically how to put this all together and what it does.
It needs to be married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What if she wasn't crazy? Would she have remembered then?
Exactly.
So there were some issues like that I had with it.
Uh-huh.
And then we jumped to this universe. And boy, did they easily destroy the Chronicoms. I mean... easily destroy the Chronicoms in this.
Well, they didn't really destroy them. They used Korra's
power to make May give them empathy.
Yeah.
But like, they did wreck a bunch of the ships.
Yeah, yeah.
Easily compared
to they wrecked some of the ships.
And it's like, are you friend or foe?
Well, friend, of course.
Yeah.
Let me throw my gun down.
I had a little bit of issue with that.
Yeah.
I guess what I appreciated is once it was all over and then it jumped to 1 year later and they all show up to meet together at the bar. But they're all holograms because they're all like everyone's still in S.H.I.E.L.D. basically. They're all on their own missions. That I enjoyed the hell out of.
Yep.
You know, the talking together, this and that. I liked when Coulson goes and you know, he has his car back. And
although Mac wearing the Nick Fury jacket.
Yeah.
That was a bit much.
And he was on the big
helicarrier.
Which I like the helicarrier because I love it back in the first Avengers when, like, I think it was Cap says to Nick Nick Fury, like, I doubt you can show me anything that's going to impress me. I bet you $10. And then later in the movie,
when he just hands
they're in the helicopter, and he just nonchalantly pulls out $10 and passes it to him, you know what I mean, in mid-conversation.
Yep.
I really enjoyed that type of humor.
Absolutely.
There was some good humor in this season.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of what I'm going to call Cinematic Universe humor in this season.
Yep.
And again, I did like them all sitting down together. I'm curious about Daisy, Sousa, and Korra out there and the
ambassadors
to what?
The stars.
Yeah.
To find ETs, you know?
So
maybe they're going to find the Star Jammers. Who knows? Apparently, I did read that the reason that Fitz was in the quantum realm was because they had filming issues this season. He was off doing a movie or something, so they couldn't really work around the schedule.
I wonder if we'll see any of these actors or any of these characters in any of the upcoming Cinematic Universe movies.
Well, now that they're not committed to S.H.I.E.L.D., I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I would love to see Quake and company show up in Captain Marvel 2.
I think it would make sense somehow if they did. I think it would make sense if they did. Anyways,
it was good.
Loud kids outside.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about next?
Might as well jump into Hannibal.
Okay.
We got a couple episodes of that one.
Go ahead.
So, starting off in episode 8, Hannibal has a new client who wants to kill her brother, tried to kill her brother. He kind of encourages her to do it.
Yeah, I recognized her from something.
Yes, she's been in a few things. One of those actresses where I was just like, I need to look her up.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and she kind of bonds with Graham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Hannibal seems to be encouraging both of them to, you know, act on these dark impulses. But yeah, she hates her brother, and he's a prick, and she tried to kill him.
Catherine Isabel.
Yeah.
She was in Ginger Snaps. A bunch of little horror movies as well.
Are you looking up IMDb or Nudography? Because
no, off the top of my head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that was like the side story.
Yeah.
Definitely, Will has convinced Jack that, you know, there's something wrong with Hannibal, and so he's definitely looking into Hannibal more now. But we're dealing with, this was so weird. Again, like you've said, why do all of these weird serial killer types congregate in this one area?
Right.
So a horse had given birth, and they're like, oh, it must be a twin because there's still something moving around in there. And it was actually a woman.
A whole human being.
Yes.
Not like a midget.
No.
Not like just a young person. An adult female woman at least 5 foot tall.
He's like, oh, the C-section's gone. This wasn't a C-section. So they cut open the horse and there's a human woman in there. And then when they go to do the autopsy, they hear a heartbeat. And they open up her chest and...
Well, they can feel a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's not registering on the machines or anything. Or any other place besides her chest.
So they open up her chest and a... fucking bird flies out because the guy who played Daniel in Lost, who always plays a really weird, awkward, creepy guy, he's like the stable hand, and he was trying to help her soul because she had been killed and he knew she was dead, but he was trying to help bring her back to life or bring her soul back. By putting a bird inside of her chest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, oh, they found a bird in her. They found a bird in her. Is the bird okay? I want to make sure the bird's okay. So it looks like he might have done the killing.
Right.
But it turns out instead it's the creepy social worker.
Right. Who then tries to manipulate this Daniel, I forget his character's name, tries to manipulate him to get him to admit that he did it.
Yep. But because that's what this show's all about.
But instead, Daniel there... knocks the guy out at the horse barn and then puts him inside a horse.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a horse that he had killed. See, that's right. A social worker killed the horse that kicked Daniel in the head that made him this way. And then he tried to blame the other horse's death and the murder and everything on him. But instead, he then cuts this horse open, puts him inside. And when Graham and Lecter show up, you know.
Because, you know, they're working together now.
Yeah, when they show up, he because you know Graham's getting therapy again.
Yeah.
Anyways, he basically alludes. Oh no, I didn't kill him. I wanted him to feel what it was like to suffocate. And then cut back to when we get to see the guy's hand come out the incision as he rips himself open. All this green ooze starts coming out as he pulls himself out. It was just like it was a whole lot of what the fuck.
And then. Will's going to kill him.
Yeah.
He knows that he's a bad guy, and he's drawn down on him. And just as he's about to pull the trigger, Hannibal puts his hand on the gun and goes, never mind. I just wanted to know. And it was...
Graham actually pulled the trigger and let Hannibal put his hand in between the hammer and... So that had to hurt like a sumbitch.
Oh, I'm sure it did. And never even
Lecter blamed. Doesn't react.
Right.
And Lecter is just, you know, he's fascinated by Graham's new attitude and this and that.
Yeah, which basically he built himself.
This next episode, again, it's one of those like, oh, so this guy suddenly's come along now. Basically, they find this truck driver that's been mauled, but they don't believe it's just an animal attack. It had to be one that was trained to kill or something. Then they find, of course...
He wasn't just mauled. He was basically ripped in half.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, no normal animal could have done this. It's not a wolf, because wolves and bears don't eat where they kill. They would have dragged it off.
Exactly.
And they're basically like, this thing, it had to be huge and blah, blah, blah. The only thing they can equivalent it to is a cave bear, like from back in the prehistoric.
Eventually, when they find a dead couple that's been mauled to death as well, that's when they discover, oh, it's this type of bear. And of course, Lecter knows this person that works at the museum who specializes in this, who he had as a patient, and goes to him and basically says,
they're coming for you.
I've seen your work. It's outstanding. The FBI is coming for you. All I can think of is, they're coming for you, Barbara, from Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
So it's like, all right. So, I mean, part of me is like, all right, Lecter is clearly inclined to accept patients that fascinate him that are also killers. He somehow finds them, or he found, or they find him, or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so this guy basically, he's an engineer who made a suit, not really a full suit, but basically claws and a headpiece
out of
metal and stuff that mimic this cave bear and its attacking ability and its jaw strength and on and on and on.
Because he works the museum and he's seen the...
He's fascinating.
He's rebuilt several of them.
So this is how he wants to kill people. And basically, Lecter sicks him on Graham. And one of Graham's dogs runs outside and Graham finds him injured and gets him back to the house and something's chasing him. And we can now clearly see, and we've seen the suit and everything. And Graham locks himself in the house and the guy jumps to the window at him. And next thing we know, Lecter walks into his dining room and he sees Graham standing there with the dead body of the
engineer.
Museum, the killer.
Yeah.
Laying on Hannibal's table, and basically, and Graham's like, I tried to kill you.
I sent someone to kill you.
You sent someone to kill me. Now we're even. And like to just...
Yeah, just like little very subtle nod. Just like,
now we are. Now let's not forget, we still have to see Crawford attack Lecter in, you know, 4 episodes from now.
Yeah.
I don't dislike the show. I still really enjoy the show.
Absolutely.
But it's still my...
Like, really?
Like I brought up, like, the... All these people are in the same goddamn place.
Yeah.
You know? Like, let's spread them out a little
bit. Like they're part of a book club or something.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. We got to spread this love out just a little
bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah. That's why, like, we make X-Files or Criminal Minds even... kind of more believable as an aspect that they had to travel across the country, go to different locales for this, not kind of staying in the same Tri-City area.
Yeah.
It's great. I get the population's huge there, but still. Okay, so I did not watch Warrior Nun.
Oh.
I mean, I did not watch Cursed.
I was going to say.
Sorry, I did not watch Cursed, if you want to talk about that.
I did watch Cursed. And I don't want to talk about it.
So are you going to keep watching?
I'm going to power through to the end. It's definitely a background walking show, but it, there was nothing in this episode that really, I remember a couple of times that I was like, oh, Mike might want to know that, but no, there's nothing that really makes it worthwhile. So I can't. I'm just going to push through to the end.
Okay. And I watched Warrior Nun, like, last week, Tuesday.
Me too.
After you left.
Yep. I did the next day.
I don't really remember it.
Yeah.
I remember more of the previous episode where one of them gets dragged to hell.
Yeah, they're kind of dealing with the aftermath of that this time.
I know. And I'm kind of blanking on if anything even came out of it, quite frankly.
I'm quite surprised because usually you have, like, you have, like, the Wikipedia up in front of you?
Yeah.
And...
No, not on Warrior Nun. I take notes, because there's no Wikipedia for Warrior Nun.
Oh.
There's an entry, but no one's filled out the episodes, so I do take notes on it. And I just...
You're like, damn it, nobody else is going to do this for me. I have to do it myself.
Well, normally, I take notes on something if I'm going to... Or if I'm going to remember it, but, like, in some cases, I don't need to, because it's such a great entry. Because I'll watch the episode, then I'll read to see the entry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I don't... Okay, I'm good. It's all covered. So, well, Warrior Nun was obviously that good that we both just enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. I was the same way. Like I watched it and I was like, huh, okay.
That was an episode of a show.
Yep.
It's still not what I thought it was going to be.
No.
And I hear people rave how great the comic books are. And I'm like, okay.
Maybe the comic books are better, but this is all just teen angst drama.
Kinda. It's all it's been. We started a new show today, actually.
Did we?
The wife and I. It's a Amazon Prime original. It's Eco Challenge. But on Amazon, they're calling it the world's toughest race or adventure race, but it's an Eco Challenge adventure race. And, Mark Burnett started this before he did, Survivor, and he started it back in 1995 and it ran from 95 to 2002. And I remember watching it on a couple of different networks, including a USA network. And it was these long ass races over like 10, 11, 12 days. And it was all, of course, outside in the elements or whatever. And actually, in 95, the second Eco Challenge was done in Maine to, it was majority of it was in Maine, but it ended in Rhode Island. So I think that's why I started watching it. It was just kind of fascinating to watch these long distance endurance races. And this one is, it's on Amazon. I think it's 10 episodes. And this is in Fiji. And we watched two episodes tonight. And it's really good. It's nothing like Survivor. There's drama, but it's not like people infighting drama. It's
network
more of
TV drama.
Yeah, it's more of like drama as in like, oh, shit. We got caught in this canyon that we have to go through, and we had a flash rainstorm, and now it's flooding out, and we're caught, and the current's going the opposite way that we need to go, and stuff like that. That type of like perilous drama.
Gotcha.
We're really enjoying it.
Good.
So if you like things like that, it's definitely worth a check out.
Cool. I picked up a couple of shows this week. One that I watched on Netflix, I just watched the first episode. It's called Unwell. And Un is in parentheses.
I feel like I've seen that.
It's brand new. It's a docuseries about the wellness industry of the world.
Okay.
And so, like, the first episode is what I watched. It's on essential oils. But then there's ones on, like, bulking up with breast milk or tantric sex.
Does it tell you that essential oils are bullshit?
Well, no, this is the thing. It puts a disclaimer on in the beginning, and it says, this is just for informational purposes. And really, it doesn't seem to go either way. They seem to be presenting stuff like, here's a day in the life of somebody who likes essential oils. But there's no... you know how usually with a documentary, you've got a guy there who's like talking about, oh, we went to this person's house and we talked to this person, or yeah, we're going to get to the root of this. There's none of that. So it's more just like stories. Like there's one woman who has an autistic child who she's 15 years old and she's been like really into smells lately. You know, she keeps taking mom's shampoo or body wash or whatever, and just walking around with the bottles and smelling them constantly. So she takes her to a woman who does aromatherapy and essential oils to kind of get her some combinations that might help focus her more.
Okay.
Then you've got this other family, and the guy is Dr. Z, and he's got an online presence, and he's got a wife and four kids, and he talks about how when he was like 18 years old, he was a drug user and a, you know, every drug under the sun and drinking and smoking a pack a day, and he was a real piece of shit. And then he had a come to Jesus moment. Now he's Christian and he's got four kids and this wife, and they have an essential oil business. And he talks about how great essential oils are. Right before him was a woman who was like, you should never ingest essential oils. You know, you don't know what's in them. I mean, they're okay, but they can be acidic and they're not good for the body. They can be inhaled, but you should never ingest them. Then you got this guy, Captain Christian Pants, who was like, I don't care what people say. Essential oils can absolutely be ingested. I mix them up in my smoothies all the time. And he talks about how they cure cancer. He's like, you know, I've seen people who had cancer and then they had essential oils, and now they don't have cancer. I mean, it's hard to say that that's not a positive outcome. So then right after that, you've got the woman who works for the FDA and says, I'm an author, I'm a scientist. So you're not getting any one particular person who's saying, this is the message we're trying to give you, right, like you would normally in a documentary. But you're getting different people with different – you know, there's one story in there, a woman who it's like Avon, you know, or LuLaRoe for essential oils. You know, I want to promote essential oils to everybody, and I do that by selling to my downline.
Sounds like the documentarians are more like neutral middlemen just presenting both sides of the argument.
That's how I've been taking it.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was just the first episode. I'll check out. There's only like six
episodes. How long are the episodes?
About an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you still watching Connected?
I have not watched since the first episode.
I did watch the first episode. So
it's interesting.
It is interesting the way he gets from point A to point. I did find it to be a little dry.
Oh, yes.
And so, like, just watching it, focusing is watching it. No.
No.
Probably some background show more.
I did like the woman who pulled out the 100-page transcript of all of her Tinder info.
Oh, that was crazy. I'll say this. I'm just now realizing I forgot to watch Muppets Now because I went to go watch Muppets and it wasn't on yet.
Oh, no.
I didn't realize it. I couldn't remember what day of the week it was on. I guess it's on Fridays.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and spoil this for you.
Yeah.
The theme this week is they're told by their lawyer that they have to do a focus group.
Yeah.
And so they have to test out some of the skits and do a focus group. You know who the focus group is?
I hope it's
Statler.
Statler. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, good.
You've got the Okie Dokie cooking.
Nice.
You've got Bunsen and Beaker doing a pizza velocity challenge.
Nice.
You've got Miss Piggy.
Oh, of course.
And then you've got Pepe's Unbelievable Game Show, which I've grown to absolutely love.
I enjoy
love.
Pepe's Unbelievable
it's
Game
Show. It's so crazy. Like, he starts this one off, and he's like, all right, let's go to the lightning round. They're like, you just started. Can't go to the lightning round.
No, good. I just realized I went to go watch. I was like, oh, it's not up here yet. I'll come back. And I just must have been like, I already watched it, or I attempted to or something. So I'm realizing I forgot to watch it. But.
So did you watch the new series that came out that we talked about possibly watching, Teenage Bounty Hunters?
I did.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
I'm surprised how much I really enjoyed this fucking show.
The opening scene
is
a girl.
Oh. Odd watching the girl quote scripture in order to get her boyfriend to fuck her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, meanwhile, her twin sister, which they're not identical, they're
fraternals, yeah.
Is giving a hand job in the next vehicle over.
Right.
And they meet up afterwards and talk to each other about it.
Well, no. I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, yeah. Go right ahead.
But when she gets done giving the hand job, now she wants to critique it and get his feedback.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you like the thing when I brought in the second hand, the twisty thing I did at the top at the end? Yeah. Was it better than when you do it yourself? No.
Oh.
She goes, what? Well, I mean, no. I know it's better in the sense that you have like tits and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're doing it.
She's like, so what was your favorite part?
Yeah.
Well, the end.
Yeah. When I did that twisty thing?
No.
I mean, like when I finished.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
So they're both going to a private Catholic school.
Yes.
And the handjob girl was the slutty twin.
She's the slutty bad girl. Yeah.
And yet her sister's the one that just had sex for the first time.
Yes. And the other girl is like the not, I want to say debutante, but she's the, yeah, she's the
teacher's pet kind of,
you know. Always, you know, striving to be the best, and she really enjoys this. But yes, listening to her quote scripture to talk her boyfriend having sex with her multiple times in the episode was hilarious.
Yeah.
And fantastic. And well done.
I love their twin language.
Yes.
They, like, turn to each other, and you get, like, that little waviness on the edge of the camera, and it's, they have these full conversations.
The fish-eye focus or some shit like that right on their faces, and their faces are obscured, but yes.
And they have these full conversations with each other. But to the rest of us, they're just looking at each other.
Right. I really enjoy the girls. I enjoy the characters. Yes, there's a nemesis in the other girl that goes to the Catholic school that wants to be number one, but is always seems to be number two to the good twin.
Yeah.
Because when you're watching the trailer, you're like, okay, two teenage girls, and you see how they are and about Jesus and this and that. And they're not in Texas either, which surprised me, but they're in the South. They're in Georgia.
Yeah.
And it surprises me that, like, and in the trailer you see, like, one's wielding a shotgun, one's got a handgun, blah, blah, blah. But they establish immediately at the beginning of the episode, these girls know guns, know how to shoot guns because their daddy taught them.
Yep. And they're, like, driving his big hunting truck.
Yes. Like, when, because the show, essentially, I would give this a hard sell.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, they get the girls are going to get going home, and they get sideswiped. Oh, and they love Chick-fil-A in this, which I don't blame them. But they get sideswiped by this guy who's trying to outrun this bounty hunter. And so the girls get out because they got to exchange information. They need this guy to pay to fix their dad's truck, this and that. And the one girl and the guy pulls a gun on one of the sisters when he realizes that they're not bounty hunters chasing him down. And the other twins on the other side with a shotgun.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, would she pull that out of the front sheet? Does she even know how to use it? And even when the real bounty hunter shows up, and then she goes on this long explanation of what this gun is.
I used to be a 270 girl, but this is a Remington.
Yeah, the previous gun she liked. And yes, it was a gift from my daddy. Oh, she knows. And then you see that she can shoot, too, when she blows up the tires.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So And this here, she pulls another gun out. It's a Glock 45. Not as not, you know, it's blah, blah, blah. So it's like, okay, I can get behind this.
Yep.
They know about guns because their dad taught them guns. They taught them to shoot. They're like brave together.
I was worried watching the trailer that this was going to be like Clueless.
Yes.
And that they were just going to be like, oh my God, what are we doing? No, these two actually do have some ass kicking in them.
Yes. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yes, I did too.
And of course, you know, it's great. And was it Kardeem Harrison?
As the head bounty hunter.
The head bounty hunter who was on a different world. Yep. I know he's been in a ton of stuff since then, but that's what I always relate him to, was, you know, a different world. I thought he was great. He owns a yogurt shop too, because you got to have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
And he hires them to work at the yogurt shop.
I mean, because their parents basically find out what happened to the truck, and they're like, you're going to have to pay for this, or we're going to send you to public school. And so they decide to get jobs, air quotes. And this is their cover.
There's tons of racism in this.
Tons.
And I like how they address it, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. They're just straightforward. Like the one, the goody two shoes slut sister, whatever, or the goody two sister. But it's like the beginning. She's trying to explain to their new friend that he can't go to this club because, they don't. And the other's like, black people. They don't like black people.
Yeah.
It's the way it is. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. We don't believe in it, but it's the way it is.
Yep.
They don't like women in certain parts. They still have a Confederate flag hanging up in the secret room.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. And I was like shocked the first guy, I enjoyed it.
The first guy that they take down turns out that he is the dad of one of the shitheads at school.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, we shouldn't do this. But then they see the security footage that he
really did do it.
He fucked a prostitute and then beat the shit out of her.
Yep.
To shut her up. They're like, oh, hell no. We're not going to let him get away with that. And they didn't even fuck around. Like, when they went down there and they confronted him, they just walked right up and he's like, oh, get a gun. Don't worry, we'll use ours.
Smack!
Like, pistol whipped him right in the face.
Yeah, and then kicked his ass over with because she plays field hockey and used the shotgun to do a field hockey hook and everything. and then I don't know, they do their twin thing. Let's get Chick-fil-A after because I'm starving. Yeah, me too. It cuts to them in the car. He's tied up in the back seat. And it's like, you girls, oh, you mess with it. Literally, they're just like, shut the fuck up, Mr. Stevens. Mm. You know, like, I don't know. A lot of profanity. I really enjoyed it. I was surprised how much I dug the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Like I said, I was worried that it was going to be Clueless. It was actually not. It was ass-kicking.
Yes.
And you and I are both people who, like, aren't NRA gun nuts, anything like that. So it's not that we're like, we like this because of this. We like it because it was believable.
It was somehow, like, I did not have to suspend disbelief like I thought I was going to have to for this series.
Yes.
Like, when I'm watching The Umbrella Academy, based on what the topic is, I'm like, okay, yep, I know what I'm watching. This weird shit's going to happen. That's what I'm expecting. When I'm watching this, there's no supernatural element. They're teenagers who become bounty hunters because they happen to be good at it, and they need money.
Yep. And I like his logic, by the way, the boss guy's logic. You know, they're trying to weasel him for more money, and he's like, all right, look. I know that you're underage, so you can't get a bounty hunter's license. So you can't do anything without me. Right. So this is how it's going to be. And they're like, fuck, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought it was good. I really liked it. I was surprised how much I liked it. I messaged my buddy Brandon, and I was like, I'm only 10 minutes in, but I'm loving this show. You need to check it out.
Well, you had sent me that message, and you're like, I could sense the disappointment in your voice because you're like, are you going to watch Teenage Bounty Hunters? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try. You're like, all right, I will too. I could just like feel it through the message.
Well, it was just like, you're right. It was. Cause I was like, I had a movie I wanted to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Sunday night and I didn't know if I had time to watch today because my mom was coming over and all the kids are going to be at the house because our daycare is closed for the week and the big kids go back to their mothers today. Well, they already did, you know, it's Monday. So I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to watch it that. And when I did sit down to watch it, I think Friday, out here, when it said it was TVMA and there was sex, nudity, and violence, or smoking and nudity and violence, I'm like, well, I can't watch this right here.
As soon as I saw nudity, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What am I getting into here?
I was like, I couldn't watch this here, which there was no nudity in the first episode.
Nope. So
I've noticed now when they do the TV ratings, it's not per episode. It's this happens in the entire series at some point.
Yeah, look at Dark.
Yes.
Every time we get a notification that there's smoking, nudity, sex, and suicide.
And there isn't in every episode, right?
No, it was the first episode.
Right. So, but it's like it's a, because we're used
it's
to like
a blanket.
It's a blanket warning, yeah, on the, because we're used to, like, every show episode you watch of a show has a different rating.
Right.
On network TV, yeah. If you will, or whatever.
Yeah, so. HBO, the movie comes up, and it'll tell you exactly what you're getting into.
But, yeah, I would give this a hard sell. I was surprised how good it is. It's 10 episodes.
Yep.
And, of course, the last scene we see of the episode is them focusing in on a wanted poster, and it's $90,000, and I'm like, that looks like their mom. That's a young version of their mom. So I wonder if we're going to find that out at some point.
Yeah. Both mom and dad were actor and actress that have been in, like, bit parts here and there.
Yeah.
I can't think off the top of my head, but, yeah, they're both people that we've seen before.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of refreshing. It was like, oh, what am I trying to say? They didn't just pick no names.
Correct.
Now I'm looking them up just because I want to remember.
And that is fine.
Yep.
But yeah, I would definitely give it a hard sell.
I agree. And again, like you said, I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Which
I watched episodes 4 and 5 of A Toy Store Near You.
Oh, yeah.
On Amazon. These were good. Episode 5 was okay. That takes place in Japan. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely not a road trip show that we thought it was going to be. We watched the first episode of the places to check out. Mm-hmm. Episode, because we've had a couple of United States. They've done one in Canada, which was episode 4. Mm-hmm. One in the United Kingdom, and now one in Japan. And I feel like I sneeze again.
You don't look like a sneeze.
I know. The one in episode 4 in British Columbia, that was really good. I enjoyed that episode. The people there, they told a great story. It was funny. The one in Japan was okay.
Virginia Williams and Mackenzie Astin.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Especially Virginia Williams.
Yeah.
I recognize that name.
Well, Mackenzie Astin. He's the brother of Sean Astin.
Yes.
Yep. And I just realized you've changed over your Wi-Fi, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you the new password after, because I got Spectrum fancy internet now.
So you don't exactly want to announce that on the podcast.
Yeah, in case anyone figures out where I live and then, you know, wants to sit outside and Wi-Fi.
Steal your Wi-Fi.
Steal my Wi-Fi.
Use a packet sniffer, see what kind of porn you're looking at.
It's Pornhub. I'm pretty straight up with whatever's on the main page.
How boring.
Well,
how vanilla.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the main page is weird. Transformers, War for Cybertron. Really enjoying this.
Continuing to enjoy this a lot.
I'm really, really enjoying this as well. We find Ratchet.
Oh, I love this part.
I do. He's a tweener.
Yeah.
He is. He doesn't believe in the war. He just wants it to end. He wants everyone to be friendly again, if you will.
He was an engineer, and now he just repairs.
He repairs Autobots or Decepticons. He doesn't care which.
And then his only price of admission is if he repairs you, you have to help out with the others that are in the...
Yep. Place. If you want to stay.
Yep.
And...
So they find the Impactor.
Finds Impactor.
Impactor, who the Decepticons kind of left for dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought he was dead.
Yep.
And so he's going to lead them...
Well, Ratchet cleans him up. And then... They find I'm just going to call it the land bridge, basically.
Space bridge.
Space bridge, thank you. If they can repair the space bridge, they can get off the planet. And they want to take the Allspark with them, but then everyone's like, well, no, if we take the Allspark with us, it's going to kill everyone on the planet.
Right.
The
they said Cybertron will die.
Cybertron will die, yeah.
Yeah.
But Prime is... There's a lot of people against Prime that are on Autobots.
Yeah.
You know, a couple... And if I've noticed correctly, it's the characters we never see in the future comics.
Yes.
Or future cartoons either.
Yep.
Excuse me. So they need Ratchet's help to repair the space bridge.
Yep.
Yeah.
They mention the Ark in this one.
Yeah, they mention the Ark in this one as well. So they go to Ratchet. Ratchet's not going to help them at first, but then he decides he is going to help them.
Yep.
Ultra Magnus is tortured.
A lot.
We see, like, one of his stacks, if you want to call it that, whatever, burst.
Yeah.
So we can't transform now.
Yeah. Shockwave basically is like, well, you're limiting me by not letting me employ all the tools at my disposal. And Megatron's like, no. And then he goes, well, yes. Go ahead.
Jetfire is kind of showing that he's
noble. This is where you start getting, like, between Ratchet and Jetfire in this episode, yeah, is where you start getting some of that anime influence, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Ratchet, who stays on the outside of the war and just wants to open up the... and then you've got Jetfire, who's noble.
Yeah.
You know, he may be a Decepticon, but he has his morals. And he's like, no, we're not going to do this. You know, Skywarp's like, oh, we're going to fucking annihilate them all right now. And he's like, there's no honor in that.
Yeah, exactly. No, we take him captor or give him the chance to surrender or whatever. Yeah. And he won't. And so Jetfire shoots him.
Yep. Yeah, because he's like, I'm going to go back and tell Megatron on you, basically. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll shoot you out of the sky.
Yeah. But then he, I'm sorry, and he takes off. And he gets back to Starscream and others and is like, yeah, he's a traitor. I'm like, oh, I knew he was. So now Jetfire screwed himself over from that one.
Yeah. We'll see, though. I think he's going to stick around as a Decepticon for a while.
There's only three more episodes. I really want to watch all three of them and get it done.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to.
Okay.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it, though.
As am I.
I did watch the first two. I started watching the first two episodes of Tacoma FD.
Oh, yeah.
Season one. So I'm going to try to watch that periodically.
What's it on?
The True TV app. They put them all up on the True TV app.
Nice.
Which I signed in with my mom's Spectrum.
I noticed that you've got the Jay Chandrasekhar.
Oh, Mustache Shenanigans? Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of fits in with...
Well, that was the thing. That's kind of why I started watching it. Kanan and I watched Super Troopers 2 a couple weeks back.
Which isn't bad.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I liked it. I actually enjoyed it more this time around than I had, because we saw it in the theaters first time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so watch the Super Troopers 2, and for whatever reason, I went on their website while we were watching the movie, and I had forgotten all about him releasing that book. So I went online to, I think, eBay, and I found it for like $6 with free shipping. I was like, sold. So I bought it, and I am enjoying the hell out of it.
Thanks. It's
definitely a good read.
What about Tacoma FD?
I really enjoyed the first. I'd seen the first episode before. I think I'm actually three episodes in. Yeah, it's good.
I was going to say, I'm not going to ask you to recap.
No. It's good.
You
watched it, haven't you? You've watched it. You're all caught up, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the second season.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep watching it. Of course, you have the commercials to contend with.
Yeah.
So. And, like, you know, we switched our internet. We went from Consolidated Communications to Spectrum, because previously Consolidated was like $35 a month. I got 25 megabits per second, which I know is not a lot. But for what we did with it, because we're not gamers, for what we did with it and for what we used it for, it was always sufficient. Especially seeing how Spectrum was $20 more a month, which at the time I just didn't have the extra $20 to spend on something like that, and it didn't need it. Well, then Consolidated went up. And now it's $51.11 for 25, and I called them, and they can't give me any faster speed. So I called Spectrum, and it's $49.99 for the first year. And I go, well, how much is it after the year? Is it going to go up like $50 or 20? It goes up $10. So I was like, okay, for quadruple the speed, I will spend less money now and $6 more later, something like that.
Yeah.
So we do. We got the Spectrum. They actually came out on Sunday because they had to turn the line on the pole. We got that all set up now, and I called Consolidated to cancel, and they didn't even try to keep me.
They're probably like, oh, thank God. If we can get everybody to cancel, we can go out of business.
Well, she was just like, can I ask why you can't? I mean, I've been a customer for them over eight years, almost 8 years. And it's like, yeah, you don't. I said, the fastest speed I can get is 25 megabits per second. With my wife and I working from home, my son plays video games galore with his Xbox and just everything else. It's not sufficient. You can't offer me a faster speed. She said, okay. Well, we'll put it on the list to disconnect tomorrow. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, Spectrum called me the next day and offered me for $15 a month, you know, this 60-channel package, which you download the Spectrum app and that's how you watch it. And it sounded appealing until we saw the channels list. No.
Garbage.
Oh, it's not even worth $15.
Oh.
Yeah. There's no TNT, no TBS. There's like five MTVs. Apparently there's like five MTV now. So one's called MTV Classic, which is literally just music videos, which that's what MTV was.
Okay.
But yeah, and there's like multiple Hallmark channels. And even Kate, who loves that shit, when I said Hallmark drama channel, she's like, isn't that all Hallmark is?
Right.
I'm like, yeah.
She goes, I would never
even want to watch that. Because if like they have a special channel that's just more dramatic than what normal Hallmark is, I don't want to watch that. A bunch of Lifetimes, Oprah's Network. I mean, just not worth $15. And that's why I asked you, you know, on there on demand if there's commercials. Because I thought about dropping Hulu and picking up this if it was, if nah, it's not worth it. Sidetrack, sorry.
No, that kind of leads me into my segue.
Oh, good.
I picked up another new show this week, almost two shows, yeah. Both of them on HBO Max. So since you were already considering, you know,
I was going to drop Hulu.
I'm telling you. So the show that I picked up, that I almost picked up, because it started Sunday, so I'm giving it a week, is that Lovecraft County.
Yes, I saw a bunch of commercials for it.
Yep. Well, this one that I picked up is called Room 104.
Okay.
It's an anthology.
Mm-hmm.
Little vignettes, little half-hour shows.
Nice.
And this first one was called Ralphie.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go ahead and lay it out for you so that you understand. So basically, this guy is living in a hotel. He's living in room 104, you know, and this girl shows up to babysit for him because he's going out on a date. And she shows up and he goes, yeah, Ralph's in the bathroom and he's a little shy, but he'll come out eventually. Just try and talk to him. So she tries talking to him and the door slams in her face. You know, the bathroom door slams in her face. And eventually the kid comes out and he's like 10, 11 years old.
Sure.
She talks to him and basically he's creepy. Like, he's okay, but he keeps talking about like, oh, Ralphie did that. You don't want to wake up Ralphie. He's in the bathroom.
I feel like I saw this trailer.
You don't want to upset Ralphie. And then at one point he's like, no, you woke him up. Oh God, now I got to go try and calm him down. So he runs into the bathroom and slams the door. And then he comes out of the bathroom wearing just his tidy whities and a towel around his neck as a cape and starts chasing her around the room screaming, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And like going nuts on her. And she's freaking out. And he runs back into the bathroom, closes the door, comes back out as Ralph, says, I'm sorry. He got away from me. And it's really kind of creepy because then he talks about like, how he's supposed to be going to bed, and she's like, just go to sleep. And he's like, can I tell you a story? And she's like, what? And he's like, well, my mommy died, and daddy made up a story about what happened to her, but what really happened is Ralphie killed her. We're not supposed to talk about that. And it's this whole, like, creepy thing. And she starts going nuts on him. She's like, just shut up. Just stop. Just go to sleep. Knock it off. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And he like jumps on her and like puts his hand over her mouth. And he's like, you're going to wake him up. Stop it. Stop it. And he's like, oh my God, he's woken up. And he runs into the bathroom, slams the door. And now you hear like crashing, the mirrors breaking, everything's slamming around. No, no, you're hurting me. Stop it. Stop it. And Ralphie comes back out, starts attacking the girl.
Underwear and towel paper.
Yep. But then Ralph comes out and grabs Ralphie off of her. And Ralphie turns around and starts, he headbutts the girl. She like, it breaks her nose. She's like dazed. She's kind of her vision spinning. And Ralphie smothers Ralph with a pillow, kills him right there on the bed. And she's like trying to get up. She's like, and he keeps like punching her and knocking her away. And he kills Ralph. And then he goes after her and they both wrestle around and she strangles him. She finally strangles him on the floor and gets him down there. And she's like choking him. And then dad walks in and he's like, what are you doing? And it's Ralph. And there's no Ralph on the bed, and there's no Ralphie anywhere. And she keeps going, it was Ralphie. It was Ralphie that did it. It was Ralphie. But it's only Ralph. And she just choked him to death.
Huh.
So it's just like a little 25-minute. But
I like that. I like the hell out of that.
Yeah. So, and the next one, I just saw the preview for, or the preview picture, and it's James Vanderbeek. And I'm like, yeah! So.
Fucking the Dawson.
I'm telling you, man. Like, so far, HBO Max has definitely been bonus. Anyway.
Huh. Want to talk about Bit Players?
Bit Players.
Episode 3, Privilege Theater.
I love this show.
I thought this was absolutely hilarious.
This show is great.
So the guys, they go to the movies. I don't know what movie they went to go see. It doesn't matter, but they bring their buddy Mark with them.
Yeah.
And he is Filipino. No, is he Filipino? Yes.
Yeah.
But he is.
He's just like a little too, like, stoned.
Yeah.
Laid back.
He's got like
15 things of snacks in his hands.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you want to get some more snacks? And he just goes, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where are the tickets? They're in my pocket. And, well, they see these two girls in line.
I've been in this situation. This hits so close to home for me. It's not even funny. Yeah, they see the two girls, and they're, like, trying to time it so that they walk away and make eye contact with the girls. And they're like, you talk to her. No, you talk. Okay, I will talk to her. I will definitely talk to her. Yes, I will say something. And then, like, they just literally pick up their stuff and walk right past the girls.
Yeah.
He's like, what were you going to say? The moment wasn't right. I was waiting for the right. Dude, it's so painful. I've been there.
I like when Ahmed's digging through Mark's pocket trying to find the ticket. He's like, this pocket is huge. And then, like, he freezes when the girls walk by and they just stare at each other.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what are you looking
with
for?
With his hand still in the pocket.
What are you looking for? The tickets. Yeah, they're in my other pocket. Oh, I see what you did there. They go into the theater and sit down. And this is what's hilarious to me. As down front, there's two white guys. One of them is a casting agent, we find out later, our assistant casting agent. And the other one's, you know, talking about how difficult it is for guys. Basically, they're trying to say it's so hard for white guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and when something's at open ethnicity, how am I supposed to treat this? How am I supposed to ask the person to act?
They're basically saying that it is such a burden to be a white guy because there's so many rules in place and there's so many things you're expected to do. We never know if we're wrong. And
see, I've told my agent, I just want to get two more, you know, leading TV show roles. And then, you know, I don't want to do any more of this. And then I'm going to go out, you know, go to Hollywood and get my thing. And it cuts back to, like, you know, Ahmed and Leon basically being like, are you listening to those people? You know, and they're talking, they're shit talking as they should be.
Yeah.
And then we get the montages or the dream sequences. And
I do with my white privilege? Well.
And we get Ahmed like, I'm going to the airport. But it's a Bollywood movie airport as he's going through the airport and he's got his ticket and he's not being hassled or harassed or checked over for anything.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's awesome.
And then, when they're watching the movie and you hear on the screen, like, you cracker ass cracker?
Yeah.
And the white guy's like,
can you even say that?
Did you say cracker? I mean, isn't that a term for us? They need to put a trigger warning on these movies if they're going to have things like that. Like,
but it's dying. So true.
Dying. Yes. Yeah. And then I'm trying, and then I spent the next, I had to, when the episode was over, I spent several minutes trying to figure out, is cracker really an insult for a white person? I mean, like, let's be honest here. Is it actually an insult? Like, if someone screamed at me, you cracker ass cracker, would I actually be insulted? Or would I just be like, I don't, okay.
I feel like you'd be insulted just because you know that they meant it as an insult.
But see, I don't know, because if somebody yells something at me to be insulting and I'm not insulted by it, even if they're trying to be insulting, my exact go-to is to not be insulted because then they win.
Right, right, right.
So I know you're the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of someone to call me fat, I'd be like, you're not allowed to do that. I don't know you.
Yeah.
And I'd move on. But, like, so I spent several minutes.
Or you'd be like, actually, I've lost this much.
I've lost 94 pounds. Thank you very much. Or
thanks for noticing.
Yeah.
Because a month ago, you would have called me fatty fat.
Yeah.
Now you're just calling me fat. Thanks.
So it's one of those things where it's like, would I actually, if someone yelled at me, you crack ass crack, would I actually be insulted? Would I care enough to stop and, you know, reflect on that?
Right.
Because I know if I see it in a movie, I don't care.
Right.
And if you think about it, it's kind of a weak, like the word that they use in the 80s for a white person to use to describe any other ethnicity seems so much more horrible than cracker. In the long run of the, you know what I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna repeat words in here.
No, please.
But
no.
Like,
and this is the final episode. Yeah, of the podcast.
But like, if you were to name all those words, describe like
please don't.
A black person or a Hispanic person or an Asian person, they all sound insulting as hell.
Yes, they do.
Whereas cracker doesn't. So
it sounds like your 6-year-old trying to insult you. You know, everyone else is like, motherfucker, fuck you. And then the 6-year-old comes out and goes, poopy head. And you're like,
yeah. What?
Okay.
Yeah. It just seems like even the word they use that it's been stereotypically used for other races to describe a white person doesn't even sound insulting.
And I'm wondering if that was the point in this.
Maybe.
You know, that they put it up there. I know that part of the point was that, you know, the white guys were like, oh, there's a trigger warning.
Yeah, okay. Right.
We should have been. But I wonder if that's part of it is to really emphasize that, you know, this is the best we have. And it's terrible.
Or honky even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in Hollywood Shuffle, he does say, you honky suck a pig headed jab, took your fool. So, I mean, that is, there's a lot of insults there, but sure still, is. Cracker and Honky just don't even sound insulting.
Nope.
I mean, one of my favorite wrestlers as a kid was the Honky Tonk Man. And, you know.
I don't think that's the same. But
okay. I don't think so either, but I'm just in the term of using the word. We get to see Leon's white privilege in his fantasy, which is he can walk down the street and not be harassed by police right. and do a dance number with them.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
Not only was it funny, but at the same time, it was sad.
Yes.
Because you're like, this is their dream. This is yes. their aspiration is like to be able to walk down the street and not have a, you know, as two people who have worked in the law enforcement right. field and talked with police officers regularly.
Yeah.
You know, to think that this is his dream is like, I just want to be able to walk down the street and not have the police
yeah.
harass me. It was funny.
It was funny. It was done in a funny way. But yeah, when you think about it, it's sad.
Yeah. Or the airport thing, you know, yes. I totally get where he was coming from with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading, you brought it up earlier, you know, Mustache Shenanigans and Jay.
Shandeskar. Shandeskar.
Shandeskar's book. He actually talks about pre-9/11, post-9/11. And because he's Indian.
Yep.
And how he was kind of treated differently. Not as badly as some, but still, he was, you know, you could see the difference post and pre because he's brown skinned.
Yep.
I remember him, he was telling me in the book, he tells a story about his dad. And his dad was born in India, but he came to the United States and he was a doctor. Mm-hmm. And he and another doctor, or Indian, were traveling and it was in. Back during segregation days, if you will. And they stopped, I think it was in Georgia. They were down in Georgia. They were traveling for work. And they stopped at a diner to get food. And the nurse came over and said, we don't serve your kind here. We only serve whites only. And he goes, we're not black or Indian. They're like, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And brought him food. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah. It's so, because he brought that up to reflect. He never experienced that until after 9/11. And even then, not that bad.
Right.
And, you know, they joke about it in the movies that he's in, because he's always the token ethnic guy.
Right.
Where he's accused of being everything but Indian.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So,
Mexican.
Yeah.
I still remember that in Super Troopers.
Yeah.
Can I get a chinchilla?
Yeah.
He thinks I'm Mexican. You're not Mexican?
I love one of the girls pops over. Are you guys fantasizing about what it'd be for white privilege? You're like, yes. And she's like, wants to be, hers is a commercial for normal size eyelashes.
Yes.
And
I love the depth that she goes to with it. And they're like, is that really a thing?
And she's like, male privilege.
Yeah.
And then Mark, his privilege is basically like, it's a commercial for mayonnaise. And she's just like, so you just want to be white? And he goes, yeah. Here's the thing. These episodes are short, 10, 12 minutes. You know, first one was 17. Second one was 10. This one was 12. I laugh the whole time.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
I dig this show a lot. I actually look forward to it every week because yeah. it's really thought provoking
yeah.
and it's bite sized, you know, it's a quick bite sized kind of thing to take in and then think about and say, yeah,
I'd like to see if they could expand this concept. I like to see, are they going to do a second season? Are they going to do more? I always like to see more content from them to see what else they could do. But I enjoy these characters. We have a few more episodes. We have Dad's, Becky's, Episode 4 is Dad's. Episode 5 is called Becky's.
Oh, God.
Episode 6 is called Comic-Con. Episode 7 is called D&D.
Oh.
And episode 8 is just called Final Fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was a video game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's...
Bear Hagar and Cody and...
Nice.
Terry.
So, it'll be interesting to see, but I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
I am too. And now all of those titles make me excited for each one of those episodes.
And again, it's one of those things, like much like with Transformers, I'd love to just watch the last three episodes. It'll take me an hour.
Yeah.
And just like this, I would love to, it'll take me an hour to watch the rest of the last five episodes. Oh. But we're going to hold off.
Yeah.
Spread the joy out.
That's right. Why blow our load all at once?
That is what she said.
So is that it for shows?
No, we have Umbrella Academy to talk about. And I think that's it.
So
is Umbrella Academy.
Tell me about Umbrella Academy. Speaking of white privilege.
That was a show that I watched. I think I watched Umbrella Academy like the day after we recorded as well because I just wanted to watch it.
Well, Here's the thing about this episode of Umbrella Academy. Sure. Okay. We left on a cliffhanger of Diego basically bleeding out, possibly dying in the alley because his dad stabbed him.
Yes.
We see him for about 5 seconds this week. You know, we get to see...
Diego?
Yeah.
We saw him longer, did we not?
We got to see him getting patched up, and then he's recuperating, and then we got to see him fucking the girl.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Okay. All of his is convalescing while everybody else is doing other stuff.
Okay, thank you. All right, I thought because we did see him.
Oh, yeah.
More, all right. I'm like, did I forget to watch the show? Yeah. Because I'm...
What's her name again? The new girl?
I
want to say Lucy, but it's not.
No, like Lola? Lila.
Okay.
We're great.
Layla. Okay, Lila. So, yeah, she patches him up with like a soldering iron and really painfully, but... She's not a medical professional.
No.
And I like the fact that Five looks over at the guy and he's like, you never untied him? She's like, no.
So I'm just going to jump to the end. Because she patches him up. They talk. They fuck.
Well, I like to... It was even awkward because like they were getting closer. They were getting kind of intimate. And then he goes to kiss her and she like knocks him down. And he's like, I don't understand you. And then they have...
Kisses him.
Basically animal-like sex because we get to see from the outside of the room.
Yes, the guy that Elliot, who's not tied up anymore, is just watching like through the glass door wall.
Because he's making a tuna mold.
Yes.
It's jello with tuna in it. And he's actually garnishing it with leaves.
It's so fucking gross. They're having animalistic sex.
Well, yeah, because they're violently flinging their clothing against the frosted glass.
So we see Lila leave.
This is again the end.
Yeah. Jumping to the end. She leaves. She goes to the same pet store.
Yeah.
That the commissioner was on. The commission, the handler had gone to earlier and like whispered something to a boy's ear, made him piss himself and run away because he was tapping the glass. I honestly thought she was going there to buy a new fish to replace the head.
One. Yeah.
But she pulls a key out of the treasure chest in the fish tank. And then she goes to a hotel and it turns out, well, she calls handler mom.
Yeah.
Can I get some room service, mom? She's of course you can. So.
And gives her a big old hug. And all.
So Lila, we've been saying the first two episodes, there's something more to her that we don't know. And they can throw us in episode three. They show us
her hand to hand combat. She said, my mom taught me.
Yeah.
So
that's her story there. Vanya starts getting chased by the Swedish men.
Yes.
And they wreck the car that she's driving, mm-hmm. run it up the road, and then she ends up running through this cornfield that they're chasing her down in. And that's a pretty cool aerial watching of them chasing and, you know, her ducking down. Yeah. And you get to see that cool, almost like maze thing. And then one of them finally corners her.
Pulls the trigger.
And we see the bullet coming out in slow-mo, and then all of a sudden Vanya, like, does her... thing she does.
The white violin.
Yes, yep. Thank you. And basically we see now a crop circle.
Yeah. She blows him back. She blows the bullet to pieces.
Yeah. And there's just basically now a giant crop circle of the corn being the corn husks all pushed down on the ground in a big perfect circle. Five finds her and he's like, hey, I'm your brother. A lot going on. Let me try to explain what's happening.
Yeah.
So.
And then we don't see much of her anymore after that.
No. Ray, Allison's husband, gets out of prison. Klaus shows up because he bailed him out. And he's like, well, you're like my brother. Because Allison tracks down Klaus, finds him. They have a conversation. That's when he says, oh, I'm married to this guy named Ray. Oh, hey, we served time together. Is it true he's in jail for no reason? She's like, yeah. But she's so excited to see him.
Yeah.
So he bails Ray out. And he tells her, yeah, you know, we're brother-in-law.
We got to see in the beginning a montage of basically what's happened to Klaus.
Yes. Oh, yes, that's important to talk about.
Watching his cult form, basically, from when he started there.
Yeah.
And it's set to good music, but basically watching, like, he has traveled all over, even to India.
Yes.
Like, and the more he's traveled, the more people have been drawn to him, to the point where, at the end, he was just absolutely swarmed by people and was trying to get away. Like, he liked it in the beginning, but then there were so many people, and he couldn't breathe, essentially.
Right.
So he fleeing that. Yeah.
So he tells Ray that, hey, you're my brother-in-law, and this is what family does for each other. And he's like, okay. So Ray leaves. In the interim, Luther... So
Ray has now learned that Allison has...
A brother-in-law.
A brother who is white.
Yeah, sorry, a brother who's white and a cult leader. Yeah. Crazy guy. In the interim, Luther asks Jack Ruby to track down Allison Hargreaves.
Yep.
And when she does, she says, oh, he's got, you know, like, oh, her name's this now. So Luther then goes to her house. And while he's standing outside, Ray comes home from jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, can I help you? And he's like, yeah, I'm looking for Allison. And basically, I can't remember if Luther tells Ray that they're brother.
Yeah, he says, oh, yeah, she's my sister.
She did, okay.
And so now he's getting hit with another white boy brother.
Yeah, but clearly there's something else going on. Now he's eating the box of chocolates he brought, and he's, you know, and he's just being Luther.
And Ray's very nice to him, yes. Even though he basically suspects that there's more to this than a brother-sister thing.
Yeah. In the interim, Allison, as well as the other people of their group, go to do a sit-in at a diner that serves whites only. She yep. goes in first and sits down and wants to be served, and she's like, we don't serve your kind here, and points to the sign. So you're refusing to serve me? Yep. And then they all come in, and they're doing their sit-in, and then Ray shows up. And, you know, after, because he gets a phone call saying, hey, they're down at the diner. So Ray goes down and joins them. And Ray and Allison are kind of, Ray's like, oh, I found some things about today about, like, I mean, I'd like to know who you really are and this and that. But yeah,
he basically gives her the cold shoulder as soon as he sits down.
But at the same time, you know, there's just white people screaming at him in the background, which.
Yeah.
Eventually, the server spills tea or coffee on Allison, which makes her get up and go backward. And because I guess she left the stool, now the cops grab her to arrest her. And now there's a big scuffle, and Ray's getting his butt whooped, and they drag Ray outside, and he's getting his butt whooped. And then Allison says to the cop, I heard a rumor that you walked away.
Yeah.
And he does. And now Ray's like, who are you? Why did you say that to him? There's nothing that you could have said to the white cop to make him just stop and da-da-da-da. And he's afraid of him, whatever, and runs off.
Yep.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yep.
Klaus finds Dave. And I had to be reminded who Dave was. I'm glad they did. Dave was the guy that Klaus met in Vietnam when he got sent back to Vietnam for those few years. And he's working at a paint store, and Klaus is trying to get to...
He basically wants to convince him not to go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't die.
And it's not working well.
No, it's not.
Also, Five brings Vanya to Luther.
Mm-hmm.
And Luther's doing one of his bare knuckle fights, but he's all sad about Allison after finding out she's married. And so the guy he's fighting, actually a professional wrestler in WWE called Kurgan as well. So I always call him Kurgan.
Yeah.
Not the Highlander Kurgan. That's Clancy Brown. Anyways. So.
Was he also the one in Sherlock Holmes?
Yes. Yeah. So Luther just wants him to beat
very
the shit out of him.
Distinctive looking guy.
Yes. Luther just wants him to beat the shit out of him because he wants to feel pain. And he hasn't felt pain. But the guy can't beat him up enough.
Right.
So.
Although he does uppercut him so hard that he flies up in the air and lands on his back.
And then he sees the moon and he's all smiley happy. But then he gets up.
Yeah.
Wins the fight.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And you said we have any more shows to talk about. We haven't talked about Dark.
Oh, yeah. Bring up my 16 pages of notes.
Buckle up.
Buckle up, people. Yeah. It's about to get bumpy.
Dark.
Holy shit. Episode 5 and 6.
Yes. Season 2, episode 5 and 6.
So these two episodes were very different. Episode 5.
Absolutely.
Felt like a typical episode of Dark. You know, where you've got like, I'm constantly like typing, okay, now we're doing this, now we're doing this, now we're following this person. Episode 6, I didn't have to take nearly as many notes because most of it takes place in the exact same time, in the exact same place.
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
2019, 2020, basically.
And so it's just following this, for the most part, it's just following the one group. So I'm going to start with episode 5.
Sure.
Feel free to jump in
as
you see fit. We see this, we keep getting this recurring sex dream between Jonas and Martha.
Yes.
First it was Jonas having it. Then it was Martha having it. Now this time it's older Jonas having it.
With a younger Martha, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... because I knew as soon as I saw the scars on the back, I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be older Jonas.
And, but on the plus side, we get to see Martha's boobs.
Fair enough. So he wakes up. But then we've got Adam, who's down there watching young Jonas sleeping and being all creepy in and of himself. Katarina's kids and Francesca and what's her name there? The other ones, you know, Charlotte's kids. I could care less about them. They're almost like the Scooby Gang at this point, you know?
Yeah, but we see something in episode 6 that...
Yeah. So basically, they are... Are you going to say Francesca's breasts? Because...
No. Okay. But we do see them.
Yeah.
But no, something else.
I was trying to predict where your mind was going.
No, no. It wasn't going there.
But, yeah. So they're basically like, they're going back to the cave. And Katarina's got the picture of Mikkel, the class photo.
Yeah.
She stole it or whatever. And she's got it at the house. And she's like, I want to show you this. And Hannah's like, no. You've been acting like a child for months.
We have an appointment.
And we've got someplace to be. And she's like, but this is very important. Why didn't she just grab it and show it to them? But she's like, you've got to come over here and see this.
So. Yeah. And she's like, no, you haven't been a mom for months. Now you can't want to be one today. We're busy. We have things to do.
Yeah. So, dick move.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Allergies.
Do you need a tissue?
No. No, I'm good. I hate this. I do this on an iPad, and iPads are notorious for autocorrecting. So I'm like, why does it say Alessandro? It's Alexander.
Alexander.
So Alexander is pissed about the inspector. He wants somebody to look into him, and that's pretty much all we get from him. Then his wife comes in and says, Bartosz hasn't been home.
Yeah.
We don't know where he's at. Well, we know where he's at. He's tied up in the cave, and the kids go in there, and they tell him. They're like, tell us what's going on. He's like, I can't. I'm not allowed to. They're like, fine, then we'll leave you here. You can be here for 3 days without food or water, and the human body will survive. And he's like, okay, it's a time machine. He says it to Hannah. It's a time machine. And then they untie him, and they're like, well, show us. And he does.
And he does.
And he takes him back to 1987.
And they go see, oh, there's Mikkel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before that, like, where they appear, because all of this is coinciding, is we get to see old Ulrich, who's been arrested because of stuff we'll get into later.
Yes.
And he looks over and he's like, my kids, which doesn't help his case.
No, because he starts screaming, those are my kids back there.
Which, before, he was arrested because he broke out of the insane asylum.
Yeah.
And found Mikkel and said, I'm your dad. And Mikkel's like, okay. And he's like, come with me. We're going to go into the cave and we're going to go back to our time. And he's running him through the woods and the police show up and arrest him. And he's like, but it's my kid. It's my kid. So that may have made some sense. Yeah. If Mikkel had corroborated, but now they're driving down the road and he's like, look, those are my kids. Those are my. So it's like everybody is his kid.
When Ulrich goes to the house, though, where Mikkel is, Mikkel's house, basically he's like, Ulrich does something to get Mikkel to realize that, hey, that is my dad.
He tells him about the magic trick.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, it's not where, but when. Yeah. That's what you told me, remember?
And then the ultimate fist bump thing as well. Well, oh, no, that's with Jonas. Sorry. Yeah. But he still, and so, you know, he believes, oh, that's my dad. Mm-hmm. also in 87, Claudia invites Egon to move into her house.
Because she sees that article from the future that says that he was found at his house dead.
Yeah.
They don't know why. And so she's like, you should move in with me, like, right now. And he's like, you're acting like I have minutes to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. Katarina finally caves in. She goes to Hannah's, and she's like, look, I want to talk to Jonas about this. And then they both have, like, a little pissing
contest. But Jonas isn't there, and we don't know where he – I don't know where he is.
Right.
Yeah.
And they start to have a little pissing contest, and then the inspector shows up, and he's like, oh, hey, I wanted to talk to you. And
I didn't expect to see you here, Katarina.
Yeah, and he whips out the picture of Jonas, and he's like, have you seen this guy? And – to her credit, unlike every other show in the world, like every other show would have been like looking at one person and then looking at another and giving those, then going, no. She just like looks him dead in the eye and goes, no, never seen it before, walks away. And he's like, well, okay.
But not before the inspector shows up, when Katarina says to Hannah, like, fucked my husband and you fucked my son. You just can't stay out of my family, can you,
really,
bitch?
Which is really creepy when you think about it.
It is, yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, we've got interspersed all these things with I guess we should start calling him Scar Jonas, because he's not really young Jonas, because we've got another young Jonas in the next episode.
Yeah.
So Scar Jonas is talking with Adam, and they keep interspersing, and Adam's talking to him about this stuff, and, you know, He's like, I need to get back there. People are going to die. And he's like, technically, you got 99 years.
And this is 1921.
Yeah. He's like, you got 99 years before this all happens, yeah. So why don't you take your time? But he tells him that he doesn't know what his counterpart is going to do, meaning the older Jonas. But he knows that he wants this to stop. He wants this to end. And the way that it's going to end is, and he shows him that he has one of those blobby things like we saw in the future.
Yeah, except it's not like the other one.
Right.
This one, we can take you anywhere you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Instead of on the 33-year period loop,
yeah.
This one, so he basically tells him, go back to the day before your father killed himself and stop him from doing it. Because if he doesn't kill himself, then Mikkel will never go into the cave. Yeah. And he'll never become your father. You'll never be born.
But everyone else will live.
Yep.
Specifically Martha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made sure to point out Martha. And so Jonas is like, okay, I can do that.
Also in this episode.
Oh, yes. There's lots.
Noah. Charlotte's at Tannis' workshop. And wants to know who.
Older Jonas.
Jonas tells Charlotte that Tannis is not your grandfather, and she doesn't know who her parents. She's never known who her parents were.
But she's been asking about Noah, and yeah. He's like, "Well, let me tell you about Noah."
So she goes to Tannis's workshop to confront him about it. And while she's there, Noah shows up and says, "That you're my daughter."
Yeah, he says, "I don't want to lose you like I lost your mother."
Yeah,
and then. But he shows her the picture of him holding her as a baby, which who knows what time period this happened.
And that's the thing. It's like, so where the fuck's Charlotte from?
Right. And he says, she's like, how was my mother? And he's like, she's still alive. Well, he said that he lost her, but maybe he lost her in time.
Maybe.
You know, and maybe that's what his motivation is all this time. So Charlotte is Noah's kid, allegedly.
I feel like the writers sat down and worked all this out before they wrote and filmed the show. So that way it would make sense as opposed to trying to figure this out along the way. And
oh, yeah. I think they
had the continuity in this, from what I can see so far, is really good.
Yeah.
And I have yet to see, well, no, that's horseshit because they would have known this.
Dude, think about seasons of Doctor Who the same way. You know, you're like, they would have had to know this like 3 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, by the way, just a quick side note. Did you see that, you know those big-time productions there, the audiobooks?
Yes.
Christopher Eccleston's coming back.
I've read that. He's coming back to be the Doctor in some audio.
Good for him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. Audio stories.
So basically that's the plan as we head into Episode 6, is that Scar Jonas is going to go back to the day before his dad killed himself, and he's going to stop it. So then we get Episode 6, which takes place entirely on that day. And this was creepy.
So we have the big backstory is that everybody is going to Ulrich and Katarina's wedding anniversary party that they're throwing.
Yeah.
There's a creepy moment where adult Hannah sees Mikkel.
Young Mikkel.
Young Mikkel, and has like a, holy shit, I remember you. Like a deja vu moment, if you will. But mostly, you know... The big story for all of this is that Jonas goes to talk to Mikkel. And we also see that morning in, you know, the day that we find out that Mikkel kills himself, but he sees Jonas grab the yellow raincoat and he has his own, like, kind of like.
He has a few of those flashbacks of that moment. Like, when he sees his younger self getting out of the car.
Yes. Or, like, when they're at the house and Mikkel needs to go to the bathroom. And they kind of come face to face in the house, and Mikkel kind of freaks out about it because he recognizes, oh, this is near the time where I disappear. He sees Jonas's yellow raincoat, which he would have known about before this, I think, but he's like, oh.
I think it's like the pieces are starting to fall into place.
Yeah.
And Mikkel has rubella.
Yes. Which is German measles.
Yeah. So he has to stay home from school today, and they're going to take him to the doctor. And
right. Let's see. Oh, in 2019, that Jonas, 2019 Jonas is what we're going to call him.
Okay.
Because that's the way to make sense than Scarneck Jonas. So 2019 Jonas, he goes to the beach with Martha and Bartov and Magnus and everything. And that's just when Magnus thinks that, Francesca, thank you, is drowning. So he runs.
She's floating face down. She's doing the dead man's
floor. Yeah. He runs in to save her, and she stands up, and she's got no top on, and he's like, I thought you were in trouble. And he turns and walks away, because clearly he's in love with her.
Yeah, and she goes, I'm breathing.
Yeah.
I'm fine. But she doesn't, like, try to cover herself up or anything. She
doesn't
just, like,
care whatsoever. Yeah.
We also, this is also where Jonas, like, digs in the sand and finds the pendant.
Yes, 2019 Jonas.
Yes.
Yep.
Of St. Christopher, the patron saint of travelers.
Yes.
Which they keep calling themselves travelers. And so we see that. We saw it in the last episode. Older Jonas left it on Martha's bed.
And Martha's like, oh, Jonas is still around.
Right.
Because no one's seen it. Yeah. So 2019 Jonas is like, oh, I got to go help my grandmother with her computer, and runs off. He's like, he has a big crush on Hannah. She clearly does as well, but either he doesn't have the balls to do anything about it, or he's oblivious to it.
Well, she's with Bartosz, I believe.
Not at this point.
Okay.
She's not with Bartosz until after he goes off to the psych ward after his dad kills himself.
Right.
And then comes back, and they're together. And so 2020 Jonas, the scar neck Jonas, we'll call him that one. 2020 Jonas. He after his 2019 version leaves, he goes down, puts the zips his thing all the way up so she can't see his neck, and basically sits down next to her and is like, hey,
we're perfect for each
other. I know I don't. Basically, he just says, like, we're perfect for each other. We should be with each other. That's how it always should be. He says a lot of great things. They have a nice kiss. And, you know, but he also kind of caveats with, like, even if I don't always say it, or I haven't said it, or I don't say it in the future, this is how I really feel. Because later on at the party, Martha and 2019 Jonas, you know, do some brown chicken, brown cow action going on.
Yep.
So,
we got a couple other little subtle things in here. We got to see the first time that Charlotte was pissed at her husband for disappearing. You know, yes. He was like, I was at the nursing home. She's like, you weren't. You were laying in the arms of that transgender person. We also saw that Ulrich can't get laid by his wife.
Yeah, she doesn't want to put out.
She's like, oh, I haven't shaved in weeks, and my period's coming.
And he's like, just I don't care.
Yeah. And then Mikkel walks in. He's like, could you fucking knock? So, yeah, he's sexually frustrated, and his wife doesn't seem to care.
Because that's the night him and Hannah seem to have their first encounter.
Yep.
And their affair that starts.
Yep.
We also see...
We saw that Alexander sees an article in the newspaper about two perps sought for a murder 33 years ago, and he starts freaking out.
It's like a recap of, hey, this unsolved murder from 33,
Yeah. And for us, it's a, hey, remember, he had a gun and was running.
So 2020 Jonas goes to his dad, and he's like, oh, Jonas, because Michael can't bring himself to, we find out when Hannah kind of, it seems like Michael doesn't leave the house a lot. He definitely doesn't want to go to this party.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised he still lives in Wyndham, considering that's where his parents are and his own version of himself there and everything else. But he does.
Yep.
And that's when Jonas says, because 2020 Jonas has a run-in when he's walking with Ulrich and Katarina and Mikkel, where they're going to the hospital. Hey, I thought you were going to the beach. That's where the... you want to ride down there? No, that's okay. Hannah loves you. It's obvious, blah, blah, blah. And that's when Mikkel goes, hey, ultimate fist bump.
And he doesn't want to touch him because she's like, no, don't do that.
He's got rubella. So Jonas basically tells Michael, I know the truth. I know who you are, blah, blah, blah. Hey, ultimate fist bump. And Michael is like relieved but confused.
He's like, have you written the letter yet? What letter? And he hands him the letter. And he's like, here's the letter that you're going to deliver to me right as you...
It says don't deliver until this day because you're going to kill yourself. Oh, no, don't open until this day.
Yeah, because you're going to kill yourself, but this will be opened when you kill yourself.
Which is not for a while later, and that's when he disappears, which is months later. He's like, why did you disappear? Like, what happened? Why didn't you come out of the cage? He goes, because you brought me.
Yeah.
What?
He's like, yeah, you're the one that took me to the cage.
And then we see that happening, and it's 2020 Jonas taking him to the cave, and he's like, I wouldn't do that. He goes, but you did.
Yeah.
And now Michael seems to be convinced that he has to kill himself for this ball to go for everything to go into works, because none of this would have happened if he hadn't killed himself and he hadn't written the letter. And Jonas is like, no, this is not what this was supposed to happen. This is supposed to stop you and change everything. Why are you? He's like, oh, this is God's work. I'm just a small cog in a wheel. Yeah.
Then to nail the point home, old Claudia walks in.
Yes.
And she's just like, okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
She's like, Adam is darkness. I am light. If anything that he wants you to do is evil.
Right.
So if he wants you to end yourself, she said, I've seen what the world looks like without you in it.
Yeah.
Jonas. And it's terrible. You need to stay.
The fact that Claudia doesn't recognize or acknowledge that Jonas is actually Adam makes me think that Jonas is not Adam. He lied to him.
It's quite possible.
Because also when you think about the fact that if Jonas ends himself, Adam never happens.
Right.
Because he never grows up. So from this episode, I get the feeling that he's not.
Oh, yeah.
Adam is not him.
Yeah.
Adam is not Jonas.
He's just manipulating.
Right. Because then we get at the end in 1921.
Oh.
We get two people talking that are agreeing with Adam about some sort of thing they're worrying about.
Ooh, in the subtitles are just listed as man and woman.
Yes. But then the woman calls him Magnus.
And dude, he looks like Magnus.
Yeah. And the woman's Francesca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got Magnus and Francesca in 1921.
Yeah.
Older, I mean, not old, but grown as adults. And basically, Magnus is saying to him, he's like, why couldn't we have just told him what his part is?
Yes.
Why couldn't we have told him why he has to do this? And Adam's like, no, we're doing things my way. This is how it has to be. And Francesca's like, we need to trust him, Magnus.
Yep.
And I'm just like, I'm writing my notes. I'm like, is he talking to older Magnus?
Right.
And is that Francesca with him?
It was.
Yep.
So that was awesome.
That was awesome.
So yes, that did look like Magnus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got two episodes left of this season.
That's fucking it. That's just crazy.
And then we've got eight episodes of the third season, and it's done.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Already.
Whew.
I watched a ton of movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I only watched two. One of them wasn't even really a movie.
I'll just start.
Start rattling them off.
So I watched, we watched Disney's Robin Hood. Wesley wanted to have a family movie night where we watch movie and pop popcorn and stuff. And so we watched Disney's Robin Hood, the animated one.
Nice.
You know, it's excellent.
It is.
He loved it. Everyone loved it. It was fun. I rented a Redbox movie for the first time in months.
Interesting.
I got You Should Have Left. It's the new one with Kevin Bacon
and
Amanda Seyfried.
It kind of got dogged.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I'm not going to go into great detail. I don't know how long it's been in Redbox. Maybe you want to watch it, but I liked it. I thought it was good. There were some oddball parts. The trailer led me to believe it was going to be more like a Poltergeist thing in it. It was, but it wasn't.
Okay.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. My son and I watched the Vietnam classic. I don't know if it's really a classic, but it's called 84 Charlie Mopic.
I've never heard of it.
It's a good movie. You know who recommended it to me?
Ben?
Yep. Because it's a good movie. It's one of those movies that's never been released on DVD. Actually, I think it was in Singapore or some shit. But anyways, I have a VHS version. So we watched it. It is.
We're never going to get through another episode of this podcast without you bringing up the fact that you have a VCR, are we?
Well, only
like
if
it's literally going to be every episode.
Only if I use the VCR, which I did to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Fucking hipster.
Whatever. I'm not a hipster. I enjoy the. It doesn't matter. I enjoy the medium.
I enjoy the large.
So anyhow, it's a. It's like a first person, it's like not a found footage film, but it's a first person shooter. Basically, 84 Charlie Mopic was the call handle for the new, not the news crews, but the official army film crews. So in this case, it's not even a squadron. It's basically six guys of Vietnam Special Forces guys who go on these special missions. And we have a lieutenant and a cameraman that's basically embedded with him, with them. To film what they do so they can bring it back to the States and show people and they can learn about it.
Okay.
So the point of the movie is filmed from the point of view of one camera, of the camera guy filming this. So those cuts when, like, something bad happens, Sergeant goes, shut that thing off, and then it cuts to, like, the next thing. It's a really good movie. It's really interesting. Richard Brooks plays the sergeant in the movie.
Okay.
You know, he was on G versus E. He was the lawyer from the first few of Law and Order. I haven't seen it in a long time. It's still a good flick.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Sleepaway Camp?
God, yes. Oh, wait, are we talking the original one?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
The original one. Did you ever see the... Did you only watch it on television? Like...
Oh, no.
So you've seen the...
Oh, I've seen it on VHS.
Okay. So I had not seen it other than on television. And I found a great deal for, like, the Scream Factory Blu-ray DVD collector's edition thing on it. And I was like, you know what? I kind of want to see this movie. It's not on Netflix. For some reason, it's not on Amazon. But Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3 are on Amazon Prime, but this isn't. And I got a great price on it at Bull Moose. So I said, fuck it. And I bought it, and I watched it. And I'd seen it on TV before. Guess what? On TV, they don't show the dick. They just say, she's a boy, as you see, like, the... Oh, fucking, you gotta watch it. So I watched that. And then, of course, I end up watching Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3. So, Sleepaway...
Now, just so we are clear here, okay, Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
When you asked if I'd ever seen it,
yes.
And I said yes, the emphasis on VHS wasn't because of my...
I know.
It's because I saw this when I was, like, 8 years old.
Right.
Because that's my dad.
Oh,
you know,
I saw Chud when I was six.
I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre to drive it.
Same thing. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, my dad would rent horror movies, put them on, and pass out in the chair.
Yep. Same here. Creature double feature on Sundays.
Well, that wasn't so bad. It was edited, at least.
It was edited, but it was traumatic. Anyway.
Absolutely.
But yes. So, at that age, she's a boy. Yeah.
Yeah. But on TV, they never show the waist down.
Right.
And this, it's kind of like watching several years ago when I watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High for the first time, like on DVD and not on TV, like the TV editor.
You're like, oh my God, Phoebe actually took her top off.
That and like every time Jennifer Jason Leigh has sex, she must be somebody's baby. So every time I hear that song, I think of her boobs because, you know, she rips them out when that song kicks on.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, yeah, and then the more I think about it, it's like, okay, so this person's playing like a 12-year-old and I mean, the effects are horrible on it, but they're showing like a 12-year-old's dick, essentially, you know, it's like, all right. And it's the only nudity in the movie. Mm-hmm. And what really spawned me to finally just say, fuck it. I want to watch this again and pick it up was that documentary In Search of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Because they talked about the ending, and that ending, you can't get over it. And I'm like, I need to see the unedited version to see what, you know, and see if I'm missing out on stuff. So it surprises me. The movie is definitely more horror than comedy, the original, the first one. And most of the killings happen off screen or in shadow or whatever, you know, or you see it after the fact. So it's not, but it's a good flick, you know. Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3, they're both filmed at the same time with Pamela Springsteen, Bruce Springsteen's sister, as playing Angela Baker. These movies have tons of on-screen kills, cheesy, not cheesy, graphic, bloody, gory, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of nudity just for the sake of nudity.
Absolutely.
Campy at times. Like
in, times?
Through the whole thing.
I was going to say, like 90 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. But I enjoyed Sleepaway Camp for what it was, but I really enjoyed Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3 as well. I was surprised. Like, that's like Sunday night. I was like, shit, I really want to watch Sleepaway Camp 3, but I need to watch this show at the same time. So, but it was fun to watch the trilogy this weekend because I watched one Friday, one Saturday, one Sunday. And yes, I understand that there's a fourth one technically that was original footage shot. And then they used a bunch of footage from the first three to scrape put it together. So I've never seen it, but it's crap, I guess. And then there is Return to Sleepaway Camp, which is a direct sequel to the first one. And Felicia Rose is back as Angela Baker again. And then on Amazon, I can't remember the name of it now, but there's kind of another movie that Sleepaway Camp's not in the title, it's something else camp. But Felicia Rose is back as Angela Baker in that one as well.
Oh.
And it came out like in 2016.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on a second. See if I can find the title of it. I don't know if she's spoofing herself in it or has a cameo, but I noticed it was on Amazon Prime, so. Let's see. Oh, Camp Dread.
Okay.
Came out in 2014. And she plays, Angela Baker in that as well. I thought that was funny.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. What was, how many movies did you say you watched?
Two.
I know one of them.
Yep.
What was the other one?
The other one was I watched, Rob Schneider actually has a stand-up special on Netflix.
Huh.
After all these years. It's called Asian Mama Mexican Kiddos.
All right.
It was great. He's funny as hell. And, yeah, I mean, it's a stand-up special, so I can't really get into details or hard sell you on it. But
yeah.
If you like Rob Schneider, it was great. You'll like it.
All right. And then you and I both watched Project Power.
Yes. I think. I liked it.
I did too.
Yep.
Wasn't what I expected.
No, I expected it to be more about the superpowers and less about the, you know, darker side of law enforcement.
But it was definitely less about the superpowers and more about, yeah. I don't want to give it away. It just came out Friday.
Yeah.
But I will say it's definitely worth your watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah. Jamie Foxx was good. Joseph Gordon-Levitt always good.
Yep.
I enjoyed, I don't know who her name is, but the other girl that was in there who played the middle person.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I enjoyed
I think that
film.
Was her breakout role.
I think it was as well.
Yeah.
All right. News and trailers?
News and trailers.
I sent you, uncharacteristically, a shit ton of trailers.
Yeah, like five of them.
And like all at once, practically.
Yeah. Four of them at once and one before that.
Yeah. So how many? And you watched them all, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
So the first trailer I sent you was The Devil All the Time. It's the one with Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Dempsey. Jeez, I'm crow.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson. I think it was Robert Patrick and then Patrick Dempsey. Yeah, Robert Pattinson.
Patrick Starr.
Yeah. that's a Netflix one, is it not? I think everything I sent you practically is a Netflix
thing. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. It's based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they dub it as a psychological thriller. The premise here they announce is in Knock'em Stiff, Ohio, which I would love to know if that's a real town or
right.
not. And it's neighboring backwoods sinister characters like an unholy preacher played by Robert Pattinson, Twisted Couple, and a crooked sheriff by Sebastian Stan, an old Winter Soldier himself, converge around a young Arvin Russell as he fights the evil forces that threaten him and his family. That's a horrible write-up. It looks good.
It does.
It looks really good. Definitely takes place in the South. What time frame do you think it takes place in?
I'd say like the 30s or 40s.
I think so as well, yeah. That was my impression from it. So, yeah, I think it looks great. What?
Nothing. I just went to do a Google search, and it's like, no internet, because Mike changed his fucking Wi-Fi password. I sent you one.
Yep.
Freaks. You're One of Us.
Yeah, that looks great.
It's another superhero thing. It's another German one.
Yes. So, I think we talked about this. I feel like we talked about it, but we didn't have a trailer.
I think the week before we've been talking about the fact that Germany has all this stuff. You know,
yes.
Germany's come out with Dark. Then they've come out with that one that we want to see about, like, DNA or genetics or whatever.
Yeah.
And now this one, Germany, you got some good stuff.
As a TV show, is it not?
Yes.
I think you have to forget the network and then.
Okay.
Because it's the same name.
Gotcha.
So you have to forget the network and then when it resurfaces. Away. It's a Netflix. It's a TV. It's a series on Netflix. Comes out September 4th. Stars Hilary Swank. And she plays an astronaut who leaves her husband and teenage daughter in order to command an international space crew embarking on a treacherous 3-year-long mission to Mars. It's a series about hope, humanity, and how ultimately we need one another to achieve impossible things.
I want to see this less.
Yeah.
Just because the day that the trailer dropped, like, every news outlet was like, oh my God, this looks so good. It looks so dramatic. It looks so tense. It looks so dramatic.
Yeah, it kind of. I watched the trailer and I was like, all right, I'll check out at least one episode. And then all the hype, I was like, okay, maybe I won't.
There was a lot of hype.
Hoops.
Hoops.
This looks great.
Yep.
It is a cartoon. Rob Riggle.
Love Rob Riggle.
Is playing Barry Hopkins in this. Ron Funches is playing Ron.
Which, again, I love him.
Yeah. Basically, it's about a high school basketball coach who wants to Bad News Bears their team because mm-hmm. they're terrible. So he can get off and get a better job in the big leagues, if you will. It looks great. This is what's hilarious to me. It's going to be on Netflix, but this is a Disney ABC domestic television production.
Yeah.
And, like, the coach is swearing a mile long.
Yep.
But it looks really good.
I agree.
I watched another trailer I didn't send you. That's about – you sent me that one last week on David Arquette. Well, another wrestling documentary is coming out on Vampiro, who was a Canadian wrestler who went to Mexico and became huge in Mexico. Like Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin level popularity down in Mexico with AAA and CMLL and everything. And then he came to the United States in the late 90s, and basically I was like, yay, it's Vampiro! And 90% of the casual wrestling fans were like, who the fuck is this guy? It's kind of about that. It's kind of about being so huge in one country and being practically non-existent in another. And then it's also about being in the wrestling business for 30 years and what it did to his body and how it affected him. And then, you know, of course, his relationship with his family. It just looks really, really good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you – I mean, I feel like if you're not a wrestling fan, you could still enjoy it based on the trailer for what it has to offer. But if you are a wrestling fan, then you're fucking dumb if you don't watch this.
Yep.
It's just my bluntness about it.
I can appreciate that.
We got trailers?
Well, you also sent me one for High Score.
I sent you a couple more. I sent you, I don't know if I was going to do all mine at once, but sure. I'm thinking of Ending Things.
Yeah.
This looks really good.
Yep.
I looked into it more. Charles Kaufman wrote and directed this, and he did, like, Being John Malkovich, Adaptation, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Not to be confused with Andy Kaufman.
Correct, because he's dead, allegedly. He's not dead. So I said allegedly. It's based on a novel. So Jesse Plemons is in it. He's playing the boyfriend. I really enjoy him in a lot of stuff, especially the season of Fargo he did.
And Game Night.
And Game Night. Just he's great. Jesse Buckley is the lead person in it, lead actress. Toni Collette's in it. And Toni Collette is playing Jake Plummin's mom. Basically, I don't know. You got to watch the trailer to appreciate it. Because it seems like throughout the whole thing, she keeps talking about thinking about ending things. And we don't know if she's talking about the relationship or her life or what it is.
Right.
But it looks so just kind of weird and kooky and just fun.
Mm-hmm.
It looks fun and interesting and good, and it's definitely something I want to check out. I'm glad it's a movie and not a TV series, to be honest. And it comes out September 4th as well.
Yeah, I was excited to see that it was a movie, because that's the thing, is some of these things that come out, you look at them and you're like, oh, Christ, that's going to be a TV series. That's going to take up so much of my time.
Yep.
But, yeah, this will be good.
And then last but not least was I sent you High Score, which is a documentary coming out. It's going to be 6 episodes.
I was already sold on it just by looking at the...
It's this Wednesday. It drops on Netflix.
Nice.
Just so you know. Essentially, there's a narrator, of course, but it features interviews and segments about development of video games in the 80s and 90s. Yep.
Classic video games.
Yep. And, like, for instance, the first episode, they talk about Space Invaders, Pac-Man, and E.T., the extraterrestrial.
Yep.
Second episode is primarily about the Nintendo gameplay. Third episode, RPG games and Gayblade. Fourth episode, Sega and the console wars. Fifth episode is fighting games. And then the sixth episode is about 2D and 3D transitions and software, IDing software. So it looks awesome. So terrible. Huh?
The 2D to 3D transitions started off so terrible.
It looks really, really
good. It really does. I'm so excited.
I'm pretty pumped about it. Yeah. Plain and simple. I'm pumped about it. I have not, like, even though I don't, I'm not as big of a gamer now as most people, my son, as you are, especially. I don't know as many games as you. Like my son, whatever. I still like to go back and play the old games. I love going to the arcade and playing the quarter games. You know, that's my bag. And this is a, you know, this is a lot about that. But I do appreciate the education, the history, and the transition of it going forward. Absolutely. You know, so
yeah, I've been thinking about that. Like, especially when I was doing the online dating thing. When if I was to try to sum myself up, like if you were to sum yourself up as one hobby. You know, if they were like, you know, well, what's one thing that you could say defines you? It'd be wrestling.
Professional wrestling.
Yeah. Like, that is you. Mike, you are the professional wrestling guy.
Yep.
You know, you like movies. You like horror movies. Oh, yeah. You know, you're a big Evil Dead fan.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Campbell.
Favorite movie.
George Carlin. You know, all these things that you really like. But if there was one definitive thing that sets you aside, it's professional wrestling.
Yes.
And for me, that's gaming.
Absolutely. You
know, 100%. Like, I love Star Wars. I love superhero stuff, comic books. But gaming is it.
Yeah.
You know, it's been in my blood since I was born, and it's just...
It's hilarious to me, because you and I are, like, amazingly awesome friends.
Awesome friends.
You know, we're brothers, basically. You're my
basically,
brother.
Basically, yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
You're family.
You're not going to cry at me, are
you? No.
Good.
But the one thing we're both most passionate about, the other person isn't.
Correct.
There's so many other things that we both enjoy and are passionate about, but this one thing we don't. But, like, we've played plenty of video games in the past. Mm-hmm. You whip my ass all the time. You've been to wrestling shows, or you come watch wrestling. So,
and I've understood very little of it.
Yes. And I explained why it's so exciting.
Yep.
Like, there's so many people that would be jealous of the fact that you got to go to a Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Because people want, like, so many people want to go to pay-per-views just to go to pay-per-view, but they want to go to WrestleMania, or they want to go to Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Because Royal Rumble, that's, you know, that's, and you've been to the Royal Rumble. It kind of fell into you.
I was going to say, it was more like, oh, I'm available.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't wait to go. It was like,
hey,
oh, cool. We're
someone backed out.
Yeah.
Want to go to the Royal Rumble?
Okay.
Stone and Boston.
What's it going
to
cost? Nothing.
Nothing. Even better.
What are we eating? Yeah.
And same thing with my wife. I went down to World of Wheels in Boston to meet Shawn Michaels. Jay and I went, and she went with us. And I was like, here, we can only get one thing signed. So you need to get this card signed for me. So, I got to stand in line. Yeah, you do have to stand in line.
Yeah, this is a non-negotiable.
Yeah, you have to get this card signed for me because I need to get two cards signed. I can only get one of my own. I'm not going to get back in line because that's never going to happen.
Right.
I go, and secondly, you have to take your photo with them. Oh, I don't want to do that. Yes, you are. Why? Because there's so many people out there that will be jealous that you got to meet Shawn Michaels and you care nothing about him, barely know who he is. But there's so many people that would just trade anything to be you, and so you have to have your photo with him.
Do you remember with what? Bruce Campbell?
Oh, yeah.
When we got our photos taken?
Yeah.
And my girlfriend at the time,
yeah,
she who shall not be named, was like, no, I don't want to get it. I'm like, we already paid for the ticket. You already, it's paid for. It's not any extra money. And it was the same kind of thing. Like, he would sign one thing, so I was like, here, hold this book. You're going to get him to sign this. And then you get your picture. I don't want to get my picture taken.
Yeah.
It's fucking Bruce Campbell.
It's Bruce Campbell.
Get your picture taken with him.
Right, exactly.
My sister did. You did. I did.
Obviously, I did.
Yeah, let's give him the point. Woo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. That was an amazing day.
And the fact that she
did awesome Q&A. I'm not going to lie. I completely blacked out the fact she was there.
She was such a drain.
And I think it's because I have the picture of you and me. I have the picture of Drew and him. Me and Bruce Campbell. You and Bruce Campbell. And Drew and Bruce Campbell. I don't have those who should not be named.
Yeah.
And it's not because I got rid of it. Yeah. I completely blacked out the fact she was even there.
Yeah. Jerk. Anyway, sorry.
So,
Trailers.
I'm all done.
I sent you a couple of teasers today.
Yes.
They had a teaser for Enola Holmes, which is that new Millie Bobby Brown one where she's Sherlock and Mycroft's younger sister.
Yes. I'll watch it. Is there a movie or TV show?
TV show.
Okay. I'll watch at least the first episode.
Similarly, Disney now has a new interview show, late night interview show called Earth to Ned, featuring a Muppet alien, and like his co-host is a Muppet as well. And apparently the story is that like over the years he's seen broadcasts from Earth come up to his planet, and so he wanted to come down here and interview humans. So you get a bunch of guest stars that, you know, are actual humans that are being interviewed by this guy. And it looks cute. It it didn't sell me as like, oh my god, I can't wait to see this, but it looks cute.
It was like, I think I have my comments, he was like, well, I'll definitely at least watch one.
Yeah.
See how it is. It might be great.
As of right now, Enola Holmes feels that way to me too.
Yeah.
It almost seems a little cutesy.
It's like, I'll check it out because it's Sherlock Holmes, but that's kind of it.
Yeah. And now, the last one that I sent you was a long trailer, and it's for a show called The Duchess.
Yes.
So, I had read the article on this, and then I sent it to my sister, and she backed it up. She said that she's seen this woman's stand-up, and she's like, this seems kind of autobiographical. And that's exactly what they said. Like, this woman is a stand-up comedian. She just got done with a big circuit, and she pitched the ideas to these guys based on her own life of being a single mom and trying to make it. And they were like, cool, let's turn it into a show. So she's basically a woman who got together with a rock star and...
Like a boy band rock star.
Yeah, and got pregnant, and she now has a 10-year-old daughter, and she gets along with her daughter, but as people point out, they're like, you're more like friends than her mother.
Also, she's American, and she's living in England because that's where her daughter is, and that's where the boy band was from, was British. Yeah. So,
and so now she's decided that she doesn't want her daughter to be an only child, so she wants to, first she starts looking into sperm donor, and they're like, basically, everybody's like 18, 19, 20. And she's like, no. So she goes to the guy who is the father of her child and says, look, you created one child. My child has a fucked up father. So I want both of my children to have a fucked up father. So
I don't know, but I've met someone who did that same thing.
Nice.
Yeah. Wanted to have another kid. Wasn't with the first kid's father, but wanted him to have the same dad at the very least. And even though he was a sex offender, she did it.
Huh. Must not have been a hard sell then.
Nope.
So the show looks interesting. I'll check out this one episode.
I wasn't blown away.
I guess her comedy's really funny, so.
It was more like, well, I'll watch one.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe it'll be another Teenage Bounty Hunters.
Yeah, that really floored me how great that is.
So what you got for news?
Really just one piece of news.
Okay, hit me.
Blumhouse. Yes. Remember last year we got the year-long movies for the holidays on Hulu?
Yep.
Well, Blumhouse is coming back on Amazon Prime.
Which is great, because Hulu is not as great as it could have been.
Right.
It was a little tame.
There's going to be 8 films released in October. They've announced 4 so far. I don't have any of them about, but October 6th, we have Black Box and The Lie. October 13th, we have Nocturne and Evil Eye. And they've released a poster that shows like 4 stories of a house, and each story is like... I guess maybe a scene or some sort of artwork to do with the film.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have no idea synopsis about these or anything else, but it's Blumhouse, and Blumhouse does have a good track record. But at the same time, if I go by the Hulu movies, one of these 4 movies will be good.
Yeah, exactly. I have a couple of pieces of news.
Yep.
This one's very interesting. I had to take it down just because. So I'm going to leave the first part blank. So, Blank is adapting Herman Wouk's Pulitzer Prize-winning World War II novels, The Winds of War and Remembrance, into a limited series for Universal Content Productions. I can't think of a more exciting project in which to launch my creative partnership, they told The Hollywood Reporter. I've been a devoted fan of Wouk's World War II epic for decades, and its depiction of small-scale human endurance in the face of large-scale global upheaval has never been more relevant than it is today. The novels chronicle one extended family's fight and struggle for survival, both directly and indirectly impacted by the events of World War II across multiple continents and years. The Winds of War, 1971, starts 6 months before Germany's invasion of Poland in September of 1939 and ends shortly after the attack on Pearl Harbor. War and Remembrance covers the years between 1939 and 1941. The novels were previously adapted in 1988 by Dan Curtis. The Blank?
Ron Howard?
No.
Okay.
I'll give you 2 more guesses.
Clint Eastwood.
Nope.
Because like Clint Eastwood and Steven Spielberg had a lot to do. Like Steven Spielberg was Band of Brothers and
I'll give you 1 more, but I'm going to tell you. You are not only in the wrong ballpark, you are in the wrong sport. Fuck.
I got nothing.
Seth MacFarlane.
Fuck, really?
Yeah. This is his first project after signing a 9-figure deal. His Fuzzy Door production signed a 9-figure deal with NBC Universal.
That's why we can't get more Orville?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. I would not expect that. Everything he's done has been such a comedy.
Yeah.
But he does it well. See, here's the thing. Orville isn't straight up comedy like he's always done.
Right.
And we have said how amazing that is. Yes, there's comedic elements, but I mean, it's mostly drama and seriousness.
Maybe he's trying to rebrand himself a bit.
Yeah, a new World War II epic, huh?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. All right.
Here's another one. This might be interesting. CBS All Access might become Paramount Plus.
Huh.
Says, we've been hearing for a few months that Viacom CBS wants to completely rebrand the CBS All Access streaming service, turning it into a proper Netflix, Hulu, Disney, Amazon, Apple, HBO, Quibi competitor, rather than just a dedicated home of The Good Fight, The Twilight Zone, and various Star Trek shows. We've already seen
which realistically, that's what it is.
Pretty much, yeah. We've already seen a bit of this with CBS All Access picking up some fun stuff from the Viacom vault, like the complete run of SpongeBob SquarePants. Until now, actually, we don't know for sure, but a Financial Times report has revealed that the top contender is apparently Paramount Plus, as in the exact same damn thing that Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, and until fairly recently, blah, 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 Hulu Plus. It's probably a smart choice, but it's also boring. So
they dropped the word Plus from the Hulu name years ago.
Yeah, they did. So basically, it looks like they're going to rebrand and add more stuff to their, which they really should.
This headline says, CBS All Access might become Paramount Plus because originality is overrated.
That's the exact same one, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a new Star Wars Christmas special coming.
What?
All done in Lego.
Really?
Yes.
Is it going to be a spoof of the original?
Nope. It's going to be a new holiday special this year. I believe it's this year. This piece of news I already shared with you, but I'm putting this on the podcast because it's a clarification from last week. Towards the end of the show last week, we had said that, you know, $30 to rent Mulan was ridiculous. For that, they better let
us coming to Disney Plus.
Nice.
The Lego Star Wars Christmas special.
Awesome.
Lego Star Wars holiday special.
Yes. It's going
to be Disney Plus this Christmas.
Life Day, man. So, yeah, I had made the comment that for $30, I better be able to keep Mulan. Well, it turns out that you do. If you pay the $30, it's a new tier that they're adding. It's a premium tier where you pay this $30 and you get to keep the movie and watch it whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just wait a month or two till it becomes free on there anyway.
Right.
But for people who have to watch it now, you pay the $30 and you will get to watch it immediately and then whenever you want. So Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You watched that the other week.
I did watch it a couple weeks back, yep.
Yeah, they got a remake coming.
What?
Yeah. They have not said which roles they will be comprising, but the two that will be playing, and I think that they're going to go in this order. The Steve Martin role is the first person,
yep.
And the John Candy is the second person.
Sure.
Will Smith and Kevin Hart. Because I can't see Will Smith playing the obnoxious John Candy character.
No, I totally see Kevin Hart doing
it. I could absolutely.
But wouldn't it be funny if they did swap them around?
It would. But you know what I would really rather see?
What?
The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Yes.
I would watch
that would the be shit amazing. Out of that. Yeah, it would be.
And the last one, you may actually appreciate this more because you've read the boys' comic books.
Yes, all of them, every issue.
So season 3 has announced their first casting.
Okay.
They're bringing Soldier Boy.
Really?
Yes. Who in the comics apparently is Captain America.
Yeah.
The original hero from back in World War II who apparently bit it in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Jensen Ackles will be playing Soldier Boy.
I can totally see that.
He did this awesome thing on Instagram. You'll have to go check out his page at some point. But he basically, like, he's standing there in front of the camera and he's, like, looking around and looking really serious. And then from off camera, somebody throws him a copy of the graphic novel of The Boys, one of them.
Yeah.
And he like opens it up and he starts flipping through. And then suddenly like this music starts playing in the background and it's going, Soldier Boy. And he like raises an eyebrow and he looks up at the camera and goes, mm-hmm. So yeah, season 3, he will be Soldier Boy.
He's going to be Soldier Boy and Jared Padalecki's going to be Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah. Oh, that's I cool. did see that, too, by the way. Supernatural comes back October 7th.
Yeah, final 7 episodes of the series.
Yep. So,
and it's supposed to be treated as an event on CW. So.
Yay.
Well, thanks for listening. That's the show this week. Again, you can find us on our Instagram. Wait. Well, I'm actually StarMel on Instagram, and you're the Quantum Geek G33K on Instagram. So
Quantum Geek. What did you say? The Homer Geek?
I said Quantum Geek.
Okay.
G33K.
Yeah.
But, so I guess our Twitter handles are our Instagram handles.
Yeah.
So you can find us on both. Again, I'm Superstar Mel.
It's not my Snapchat handle, though. I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
I don't really use my Snapchat.
I think it's my TikTok handle, though.
I don't have TikTok.
Oh, you're missing out, man.
I don't know if I am. Oh, Addison sits there and watches TikTok, and I'm just annoyed by the noise.
Oh, dude. You're missing out. If they had a VHS version of TikTok, you'd be on it.
Fuck yeah. We'll be right back.